Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Ricky's boys don't quit, and neither does NBC Sports Chicago's coverage. Download the My Teams app by NBC Sports and get your White Sox anytime, anywhere. Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at wintrust.com/socks. Members FDIC.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
The ball hit deep, way back! Deep to the field!
Holy cow! Carlton Fisk has put the White Sox ahead!
Jimenez leaves the ballpark! You can't put it on the board! Yes!
We got a chance to do something real special.
All right, sit back, relax, and strap it down. It's time for the White Sox Talk Podcast.
Hey, everybody, you're listening to the White Sox Talk Podcast, brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank. I'm Chuck Arfine here in Arizona, and today on the podcast, it is a special conversation with new White Sox catcher James McCann, who signed with the Sox this winter after spending his first four seasons with the Tigers. As a catcher, he's got a firsthand look at what's going on with the White Sox pitching staff. He's going to talk about Lucas Giolito and Ronald Lopez. He'll even compare Dylan Cease to a pitcher he caught in Detroit by the name of Justin Verlander. That's coming up. But the main focus of the interview is McCann's family. How doctors didn't think James would survive childbirth 28 years ago. His mom was on bed rest for 6 months, and while she was in bed, pregnant with James, she sat in bed in Southern California during the 1990 baseball season watching Los Angeles Dodgers and Angels baseball, basically around the clock, their live games and the reruns. And here we are 28 years later, and James McCann is a catcher in the major leagues. And in an unbelievable twist of fate, last winter, when it was James's chance to be a father, his wife Jessica gave birth to their first children, twin boys, who were born almost 2 months premature. At birth, they weighed 2 pounds and 3 pounds. You know, we're all about getting to the nuts and bolts of White Sox baseball here on the podcast and talk to the players about this sport we love so much, but there's also a human element to it. And as you're about to hear, James is definitely an example of that. So here is my conversation with James McCann on the White Sox Talk Podcast. Well, you were a free agent. You had a chance to sign with team. You chose the White Sox. What was that decision-making process like for you?
You know, I really didn't know what to expect going into the whole process. But really from day one, you know, the White Sox made it clear that, you know, they liked me and they wanted me. And just through the entire process, you know, the White Sox were there. And, you know, having played in this division and seeing, you know, the way that Ricky runs the clubhouse and runs the team and seeing the young talent that was over here, you know, made the decision pretty easy to know. You know, what up-and-coming, you know, abilities are over here.
Yeah, White Sox fans will hear about all these pitchers, the young pitchers. You're catching them. What kind of information can you share with us about what you're seeing coming at you as a catcher?
A lot of talent. And, you know, the big thing for me is how, as a young pitcher, do you take that talent and turn it into – you know, the ability to be on the field and pitch in a major league game. And some of these young guys, you know, they've gone through some tough roads at the big league level already, and they've experienced the failure that everyone feels and experiences at some point in their career. and they found a way to fight that adversity. You know, you look at guys like Giolito and Lopez and the strides that they've made, Rodon, the strides that he's made. And then you look at the guys that are up and coming. You know, one guy that really sticks out to me, and you know, you hear a lot about him, but is Cease. You know, he's got stuff for days. His stuff is unbelievable, but he doesn't act like a 23-year-old. He's very mature. He knows what he wants to do every time he steps on that rubber, and he's a guy that I've really enjoyed watching go about his business and seeing you know, how bright his future really is.
Who does he remind you of? I mean, you've caught some great pitchers, David Price, Justin Verlander, and the like. Where would you see his career possibly going?
You know, stuff-wise, it's similar to Verlander. You know, easy fastball that sits in the upper 90s. You know, three off-speed pitches that are above average. Mentality-wise, he reminds me a lot of David Price. I don't want to say easy going because he's obviously a competitor on the mound, but he's not max effort. He's not a guy that's going to try and do too much, and he, you know, stays within himself, and that's something that is very unique about that young of a pitcher.
I want to talk about where your last year has gone, a little more than a year now, because you and your wife had twins, and that was not as easy, certainly, of a situation as you were hoping for. Can you explain what happened?
Yeah, so we found out in June of 2017 that we were pregnant, and early on we just knew we were pregnant. It wasn't until like week 10 of the pregnancy or so that we found out we were having twins. So that was a big surprise for us to begin with. And then as we kept going along, you know, being pregnant with twins, it's already high risk. And they were mono dye twins, so there was one placenta, and they're in their own sacs. And there are a couple of high risk complications throughout the process. So we were actually being monitored weekly, starting in like July. Every week, my wife had to go to the doctor, and they had to check on the babies and make sure everything was okay. And then we knew at some point she was going to be hospitalized and basically bedridden to see how long the pregnancy we could get it to go. And we had different mile markers. You know, week 28 was a big one. They say that at week 28, if a baby's born at that age, the percentages greatly increase as far as what they can do for them in the NICU. Before 28 weeks, it's kind of flip a coin to you know, what kind of long-term effects, you know, will there be. So we got to week 28, and we kept pushing along, and our next goal is 30 weeks. And we got to 30 weeks, and it was December 4th. My wife was hospitalized, and with the intentions of finding a way to, you know, one more day every day, with a goal to get our next goal being 32 weeks. And that was on December 4th. December 5th, we did another monitoring, and they informed us that we were going to have the babies the next day. And there's just some growth issues going on. And at that point of the pregnancy, the doctors figured they could do more for them in the NICU than what they were getting in the womb at that point. And so on December 6th of 2017, the babies were born. Healthy as could be for as far as, you know, being born at 30 weeks. And we spent a little over 7 weeks in the hospital with them in the NICU. And that's kind of how I spent my entire off season between 2017 and 2018, was, you know, at the doctor and then at the hospital.
What was the chance of survival? I mean, was there a chance that they would not come out okay?
Yeah, so we, as high risk as it was, like everything was smooth once they were born in the NICU. A lot of the stuff we were dealing with was just them maturing age-wise, as far as being able to breathe on their own, being able to regulate their own body temperature, being able to nurse themselves. You know, so early on, they were born at 2 pounds 8 ounces and 3 pounds 3 ounces, and literally the cords that were attached to them weighed more than they did. I remember at one point, they'd get a bath once a week, and I remember they took the tubes off their face, and my wife, you know, asked them to take their hat off because, you know, we had really never seen what they looked like. So as far as survival, I think we were at peace with everything just through the whole process. Obviously, you know, in any pregnancy, there's a chance that something could go wrong, especially in our situation with the high risk and everything that went into it. But we're at peace with everything. You know, rewinding 20 plus years, you know, my parents had a stillbirth before me, and then when they got pregnant with me, almost immediately after, my mom developed a hole in her amniotic sac, and at 13 weeks, and the doctors actually, knowing their past pregnancy, advised them to think about aborting because they only gave me a 1 in 4 chance of survival, and they said if that 1 in 4 came true, that it was pretty much guaranteed that I'd be physically or mentally disabled. And my parents put their faith in God, and you know, here I am today. So I think with that background and that story, we were just at peace with everything, knowing that God was going to take care of us, and that this was just an addition to his, you know, already unbelievable story, you know, that our family has.
These were your first two kids, right?
Correct.
And I want to go back to when you were born. It was 1990. Was that when you were born?
Correct, 1990.
And your mom was a big baseball fan. Is a big baseball fan.
She was. Yes. She. So she was actually bedridden for the last 6 months of my pregnancy, and she literally watched Dodgers and Angels game every night, and then watched the reruns the next day. You know, the shortened reruns where they skip through innings. She'd watch them every day.
Do you think you were maybe watching them too?
I guess. You know, my love for baseball came from somewhere. So.
How difficult was that then for her, to after what she went through, to see this happening unfold for you?
I think it was probably tougher on her than anyone. You know, she, you know, what she went through to get me here, and the uncertainty. You know, and obviously back then there wasn't the medical knowledge that, you know, we were getting an ultrasound every week and seeing the babies and hearing their heartbeats. She didn't have that. She was, you know, going off of kicks and different things like that. So I think it weighed on her, you know, even more so than it did on me and my wife. Because, like I said, my wife is an extremely strong person, and you know, she and I were just at peace, knowing that what was going to happen was meant to happen, and that God was going to protect our babies.
And so, what are your sons' names?
So Christian is, we have Christian Thomas and we have Kane Timothy. So a little backstory on that. We knew the middle names. Timothy was my older brother that was a stillborn. So his first name was given to Kane as a middle name. And then, Thomas is my middle name. Christian was a name that we loved from day one. Was kind of a front runner. Kane, we were down to the 12th hour the night before they were born, stuck between a couple of different names, and we couldn't really figure out which one we wanted to go with. So I decided, it's literally 3 o'clock in the morning, I said, all right, we got to figure this out. Let's look up online what some of these names mean. And Kane was the first one that we looked up, and they're spelled K-A-N-E, so they have different initials, same sounds but different initials. And Kane actually translates to Little Warrior. And Kane had a little bit tougher time in the womb than Christian, so he got the Little Warrior translation.
Kane McCann, it's got a nice ring to it too. How are they doing now?
They are fantastic. So we actually had our 12-month checkup right before we got to spring, as far as being out of the NICU for 12 months. And developmentally, they're right in line with what a typical now 15-month-old baby should be doing. They're walking. They're active as could be. Happy babies. We've been so lucky. I mean, yesterday during the game, my wife said that she has these little booster seats, and they literally sat in the booster seats the entire game. Just you know, fans start clapping, and they start clapping. Fans start cheering, and they kind of start to yelling. And you know, there's just an absolute blessing.
What was the lowest point through all this for you? Was there one?
You know, the lowest point, I'll preface it by saying every time that we started to feel sorry for ourselves, all we had to do is look in the room next to us and see the hardships that other people were going through. You know, I think we had a long stay in the NICU, you know, 7 plus weeks. You know, hospital food has gotten real boring and not very good, and you know, we're driving 30 plus minutes a day to get to the hospital. But then you look at, you know, the person next door that's been there for 200 days and are waiting for a kidney transplant or waiting for a lung transplant. And, you know, so for us, it was a smooth stay. So with that being said, a low point would definitely been the holidays. You know, Christmas Day was really tough on us, especially my wife. You know, New Year's Eve, you know, spending at the hospital. So, you know, it was tough to be home with other family members, knowing that, you know, our family's in a hospital and spending Christmas Day in the hospital. That was probably the low point, was just that, you know, not having, you know, your typical holiday.
So what was the best point, the best part, the high point?
You know, the high point, you know, obviously the day they were born is something that we'll remember forever. Unfortunately, it was, you know, very rushed, and, you know, when they were born, they showed us each child, and then there's a team of doctors that took them away, and we didn't get to see them for another 10 hours just because, you know, they had to get them stable and take care of them. But the high point would definitely be, you know, getting to take them home and, you know, driving them home and, you know, just seeing them without cords and seeing them free. And then the other thing too is seeing them together, because in the hospital they never got put together. They're in their own, you know, separate, I call them incubators. It's probably not the proper term, but their own separate, you know, incubators. And, so putting them together in a crib and holding them together, that was pretty special.
You know, so last spring you're with the Tigers. This whole thing had just happened, or was still going on to a certain extent. Where are you now versus where you were last spring?
Yeah, so literally they came home from the hospital, and within 10 days we were driving down to spring training. Now it's so different. You know, there's worries, you know. I mean, you still worry about your kids. You always worry about your kids. But, you know, the worries of, are they still breathing at night? Are they, you know, because when we, at that point, we got to spring training, they're still only like 4 pounds, you know, 4.5 pounds. So now it's more of, you know, you walk in after a long day and two big smiles and yelling at you to come play with them. And it's just a totally different feel. It's more of a, I get to be a dad and get to, you know, have fun with my kids versus being a dad of, you know, hey, let's make sure they're healthy. Let's, you know, that kind of aspect.
And what's the prognosis going forward for them?
They're normal kids. You know, they're a little small right now on the growth chart compared to a typical 15-month-old, but they are on the growth chart. And they say that by, you know, 2 years old, 3 years old, they'll catch up. But as far as everything else, they're normal kids. They're, you know, going to be with me throughout the season and my wife, and we're just looking forward to having a little more of a normal year.
All right, my thanks to James for being so open about his family's experience. It is so great to hear that Christian and Kane are doing so well. They are here in Arizona with their mom and dad, and yes, they're even watching White Sox baseball. And thanks, everyone, for listening to this edition of the White Sox Talk podcast, brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank, your home for White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Go to the special White Sox webpage. It's www.wintrust.com/sox. Hawk Harrelson, take it away.
Thanks, Art Chuck. And this edition of the White Sox Talk podcast is over.